Potter. I'm a journalist, I'm an author, and yeah, I'm still going gray. This is the show about all the creative, amazing, and inspiring people who are out there, every day, making the world a more interesting place. Before I get to today's guest, a couple of quick things to mention. My debut novel, Oh Brother, is still doing amazingly well, which is so thrilling. So if you haven't read it yet, hop on over to Amazon.com and get one, either in paperback or for your Kindle. Also, don't forget to visit Audible.com, the audiobook superstore, for your free one-month membership and your free audiobook. Did you hear all those frees in there? That's because you are a loyal Going Gray listener. So just go to audible.com/goinggray and get signed up. Okay, let's get to today's guest. She's waiting very patiently. My guest today is Monica Parker, author of Getting Wasted, A Survival Guide to Being Fat in a Society That Loves Thin. I will let her give you all the details on that. Monica, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us, first of all, a little bit about you, your background, who you are.
Who I am. I'm a fat woman. Who has chosen to see the gift in that and turn that into a career. But before that happened, I've been an actress and a writer. I was born in Scotland for no reason except that it happened. Neither of my parents were Scottish. And I came to Canada with them when I was 13 and had gone from being, I like to say in my book that I was born at 6.5 pounds and 1 hour later I weighed 62 pounds. I have no idea what was in that milk, but I've been on a slippery slope ever since. And so we came to Canada as I was a 13-year-old and had to navigate. My mother liked to move us into the wealthiest neighborhood she could find, even though we had no money. My metaphor for that is it was similar to standing outside a bakery and staring at the eclairs but not being able to get them.
Nice.
Which probably contributed to the body that has become my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I've been an actress, a writer, a producer, and now an author.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lived in L.A. for a very long time, and I now split my time between Toronto and Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. I literally was telling you before, I just flew in late last night, and I flew in from L.A. It was amazing. It was amazing, but I can't think of anything harder than being an actress and a producer and everything else in that town. That must have been a challenge and a lot of fun.
I think that I've discovered something about me on this. Going to Los Angeles as a fat woman means that I really like challenges.
I guess. I'll tell you what, even at the airport, I told my sister when she picked me up, I said, all the women are thin and tan. I was amazed.
It's true, and they're still not happy because they're just not thin enough.
That's disturbing. I got to tell you, that's disturbing. So let's just take that into tell us about your book. Tell us about Getting Wasted.
It's really about my life on 1,000 diets, or it feels like 1,000 diets. Every chapter is about a diet I have been on, how much they cost me, how much weight I lost on them, and how much weight I gained when I stopped them, and the three that nearly killed me. It really is about coming. My book is totally about this journey and how I have been held hostage by society standards or what I thought I was supposed to look like and could never, ever attain. I mean, the success of my life is having found acceptance with being who I'm intended to be. Not everybody is intended to be thin.
Right. Exactly. Now, tell us, and you know, I don't want you to give anything away from the book, but tell us a little bit about how you came to that, because that is a very hard place for most people to get to, that acceptance, especially for women. I don't want to make it a big gender thing, but especially for women, it is really hard to get to the point of thinking, this is my body as it is. I love it. I'm good with it, you know, because we're constantly, I mean, even if it's not fat, I mean, we're like, oh, my nose is too big, or what happened to my hair, or whatever.
It's I think when you, the conclusion only comes from trial and error, and trial and error. And, you know, I'm not an advocate of being fat. Would you know, I think if I had had a pole dancer's body, you know, I would have had a different life. I'd probably be naked at the supermarket, but great earrings. But I still would have had problems because life is life and you just get different problems and right. different challenges. And for me, this is the package that I was given. And I actually really do view it as a gift. I have learned through, I think you have to read the book because you said I shouldn't give anything away. But I have to say it is women more than men. Not that men don't have negative self-image issues, but women really have negative self-image issues. I read a statistic very recently that 90% of women have some form of negative body image, even if it's just a little cringe when they catch their reflection in a store window, to full-blown self-loathing. And it affects everything in our lives. And, you know, we're bombarded by messages about how we're not good enough. And I think there is a definite sort of fight back spirit that's happening now that women are trying to, in every way, as you say, whether you got a nose you don't like or a booty you don't like or whatever part of you, there's always something that makes us uncomfortable. So you either cave into that and spend far too much time hating yourself, and nobody should ever hate themselves. And so we either change it.
Right.
But sometimes change doesn't stick. And certainly in the world of diets, my experience, and I don't think I'm unique, diets don't last. No. As long as you're in starvation mode, you can have that nice martyr-like feeling about you've done a great job and you're now this changed body. But it doesn't last, because the minute you enter into the real world again and try and function. So for me, what I've learned is to move a little more, eat a little less, make better choices. But I have a potato picking peasant's body that I try to glam up. It's part genetics. It's part whatever that mesomorph act. I never remember which one is which. I have the sluggish one.
Okay. Right. Right.
And that's just the way it is. I've looked for thyroid problems. I don't have them.
Don't you sometimes go, please let there be a thyroid problem, and then when there isn't, you're like, oh damn.
Yeah, and you're also saying thank you that I don't have one. But
yes,
yeah, it just is. And I think so. What is acceptance? It just is. I've fought the fight so often only to lose that weight, and then you know when you lose that weight, when it comes back, it brings some friends with it. So I don't want to be a yo-yo person. I have been stable. My body is, I'm a big woman, but I'm not I walk, I'm in shape, I'm strong, and that has to be good enough.
That is so amazing and so inspiring. I've been up and down, you know, my weight my whole life, and I think that we are actually probably the norm. I think a lot of women do that up and down, even if it's just 10 or 20 pounds.
Right.
A lot of women have done that yo-yo thing and the fad diet thing and the cutting out this and the cutting out that. And everybody that I personally have talked to says just what you said. It doesn't last. You can't make it a lifestyle.
And even worse,
we
have become neurotic. And
yes.
The obsession about not eating and then eating and then every mouthful comes with some guilt bomb. That's crazy. I really don't aspire for crazy. I like to be sane. And so sane means finding some balance. And that means acceptance. So I can't walk in anyone else's shoes. There are people who really, really, really will only be happy if they're thinner.
Right.
Maybe even thin. I lived in Beverly Hills for quite a long time, and I was fairly convinced that none of those women would be happy until they went back to their birth weight. It just...
You're probably not really exaggerating,
but that's like
much.
Chasing your tail. You know,
yes.
It's the same thing as getting older. We do. And so the sooner we accept that, it's, again, I say, this is our life. So if we spend our time in a constant sort of boxing stance against what is life, we're not living it. I like to live it.
That's beautiful. That's actually beautiful and very well said. I think it's interesting, too, that, and I've said this before, and this is not a unique thought with me, but for, and again, I'm going to say women, we are, we get the glossy magazines where it's like, you know, so-and-so lost all the weight, or how to lose the weight, or how to lose that last 10 pounds, and then the next page has got some chocolate double thing recipe on it. You know, we watch TV, and we see all these really thin women and actresses, and then, you know, then the Food Network's got somebody making something with, you know, what they call a little olive oil, and it's a third of the bottle. So we're really getting these mixed messages just everywhere. And it does make it hard to just, as you said, just live it. Because you're constantly trying to find that balance. Yeah.
My mixed messages started very young. My mother used to, she was Austro-Hungarian, so she only knew about starch. And so she would feed me these giant platters of food, and then underneath she would there would be a magazine clipping about some diet that she had found that would work for me, and then I would say, so I don't understand, you're feeding me this food and you want me to go on a diet. She said, well, no, it's just a suggestion. Mm-hmm. and then at the same time, I when I was quite young, I said to her that I really felt that I needed to go on a diet, and she looked at me and she said, no, you come from a line of strong women. We are built, you know, for work, and she said, we're like, you know, oxes. And all I heard was, wait, you're saying I look like an ox?
I was going to say, that's what I would have heard.
Of course, she said, no, I didn't mean that. But then, it, you know, it was about 2 months later when my mother became my drug pusher. I was probably 16, 17, and she started giving me Benzedrine, the black and white pills that make you speed and not sleep, but the weight falls off. So I've been on this for this cycle for a very long time, and it really has become clear to me. I'm backing up a little. I have often wondered if nobody had mentioned my weight, and I feel this about mothers and their daughters and or their sons. If nobody would focus on this, wouldn't it be interesting to see if we would be fine with ourselves? I don't know that. I mean, obviously there's corporations out there who think that we need thicker eyelashes and thinner thighs and thigh gap. And
thigh gap,
something I've never had.
Me neither. Yeah, me neither. But you're right. I think that is a very good point. If we didn't mention it, if there wasn't that constant comparison of ourselves to other people, I think it would be interesting. I just, when I was in LA, I went to here's a little too much information for all of you listening. I went to one of those Korean spas, and it was just only women. And everybody was naked, and the whole, like, you know, going into different pools and things. And I'll tell you what, it gave me such a shock to realize that I'm obsessing about things, you know, a little bit of the pooch in my belly or whatever, and a cellulite in my butt. And I was looking around at all these women, and I thought, I'm very normal. Like, everyone around me, I didn't see one person who I was like, she is perfect. And instead, I was relieved to see how many people look like me. And, you know, that they were just, I didn't feel weird or anything. And I thought, and everybody was just, it was absolutely so interesting for me to see that. And how many people, they were just comfortable, you know, and nobody was, maybe they were sucking in their gut, I don't know. But the idea is that I looked around and I thought, it's kind of like when you go to the store and you realize that the size you need is gone, and they have all the other sizes there, and you're like, oh, maybe I'm not so odd, you know? Does that make any sense? I'm taking over this interview. Would you like to speak? Yeah. You can speak.
No, I was thinking. I was thinking about it. You know, I have been to those Korean spas. I have been to women's health clubs where you're naked, and you know, it is the great equalizer, because even though I'm a big woman and everything has fallen, and I know that all the other women who are in the whirlpool or wandering around getting their towel having come out of the spa or whatever it is, all are feeling hypersensitive about their bodies. But when we're all naked together, you can't feel hypersensitive about your body because everybody else is worrying about their own body. So you just sort of cruise through and, you know, they either are thinking, oh, thank God I don't look like her, or they're thinking, God, I wish I looked like her. It doesn't kind of matter. I used to take my son to art galleries with his school. And, you know, you'd look at these pictures of all these naked people and the kids would all titter and laugh. And I would say, you know, this is what you have to understand. Painters painted these bodies and eras change and styles of bodies change. And really what you have to remember while you're laughing and tittering and being embarrassed is we all have naked bodies under our clothes. And there's some attachment to feeling shame about our bodies that we learn so young. And I really do wish that we would all just make peace with the fact that we come in different shapes, different sizes, different flavors, different colors. We talk about diversity. Why don't we accept body diversity?
Very, very, very good point.
Because it's not easy to accept, because believe me, we all want, I want Gisele Bündchen's body. I want to know what it is to walk in her very high heels just for an hour or two. I think it would be fun to find that out, but it isn't going to happen.
Right. No, and I'm with you, and I think most of us feel the same way. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
It's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is. And I came from the same type of gene pool that you did, like we were discussing before. So I'm with you on this. Tell me a little bit about, blatantly, and I admire this, blatantly in the title of your book, use the word fat. And we've sort of come to see that as such a negative term. And you don't say someone's fat, or you try not, you know, everyone's so conscious of not using the word fat because it's, you know, when you use it towards somebody else or whatever, it's very, or even yourself, it's very mean spirited, and you use it in such an accepting way. Tell me about your decision to use the word fat.
I think, first of all, it's a defensive move, a little bit like chess. You know, if I say it, then we're done with the topic. That's how I feel about it. I mean, okay, so I'm fat, so get over it.
Nice.
I think it is partly that, and I also think that it, I don't like words to have power. A negative power over us. It's best to say them enough so that they lose that power. It is, being fat is, I am fat, and I'm also attractive, and I think a little chipped, a little dented, but I'm still sexy, I'm still vital, I've got a good brain, I'm interesting. So the whole package kind of comes together, and yeah, I'm fat. I don't know what else to say about it except that it's the truth. I like the truth.
Yeah, and I think that's what's so beautiful about it to me, is that it is very plain spoken and sort of just out there. And I agree with you about words having too much power. And that's why I think that, you know, there's so much of that conversation in the media these days about we should ban this word and, you know, bossy and whatever.
I've been bossy my whole life.
I know.
Yes, and so now we say it means leadership. That works.
Right, exactly. And I'm completely with you that the more power we give these words, then the more they can become a weapon.
Or less of a weapon. I think that when, you know, kids, the bullying, and God knows there's a topic, and certainly if you are the obvious, and so therefore if you're the obvious that you're, you know, either really short, really skinny, really tall, really fat, and then you are, suddenly that makes you a target for bullying. Once again, acceptance really has to begin very, very young, that we are a mixed bag. We're like a variety. We should be the variety pack, and that should be okay. And I don't know how to, it starts with the parents. It starts, don't you think? It starts with how you raise your children, you know?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Start there and teach them that, and also, you know, teach them that people are in pain. You know, they're not all happy about being whatever they are, whatever. Some people have birth disfigurements or whatever it is. We should never make fun of people because they have some disability or something. So, you know, and nor should we make fun of people because they're different than whoever we are. And all that is a giant whack of insecurity. That's where bullying comes from.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, actually, that leads me to the next thing I wanted to have you discuss a little bit. I understand that you're looking for contributors to your next book, which is, I believe, a supplement to Getting Listed. Tell us a little bit about that and what you're looking for.
The 101 Humiliations. Yes. Well, I say in my book, which after this very serious conversation, I want to say is actually funny. Mm-hmm. It's not all funny. I mean, it's a ride, but it is a lot funny. And I say that it took 101 humiliations for me to become me. And I don't know anyone who doesn't have one of those horrible moments in their life that happened. They could have been on a date. Yeah, I remember a story of a woman who hadn't dated in about 30 years, and she was on her first date, and she wore this really nice white suit, and she went out with this man who she found attractive, and she was so nervous they were at dinner, and she kept wiping her hands on her napkin until she stood up and realized her napkin had been on the floor, and she'd been wiping her hands on her white skirt, and it was just covered in whatever she'd eaten.
That would so happen to me.
It would have happened to me, too. So, you know, it's that toilet paper thing on your foot or worse, and so... Right. All those humiliations that have become sort of locked in a vault that you just never want to go in there. Again, I'm a believer in openness. Take it out, put it out there, and it's no longer can't hold power over you. So on my website, www.gettingwasted.com, there is an area where you can submit your humiliations, and I want to create a free ebook about everyone's humiliations. I think we should band together and just share these moments, and then they're out there and we get to laugh at them and wince a little and maybe recognize some of them because they happen to us, but they happen to everyone. That's the thing. They happen to the popular kids. They happen to the unpopular kids. Yep. Nobody escapes.
No, that's true. And there is some solidarity and some solace in knowing that you're not the only one. I think that's a great idea. So, okay, we're just about out of time here. You just said where we can find out more about you, and we'll repeat that in a second, but tell us where we can buy your book.
You can buy my book on Amazon.com. You can buy it in bookstores starting April 1st. You can, I imagine, it depends what country you're in. If you're in Canada, you buy it at Indigo and Chapters. If you're in the U.S., it's Amazon online, and like I said, support your local bookstores. It's going to be there.
Excellent, excellent. And then we can find out more about you at www.gettingwasted.com.
Yes, or at monicaparkerproductions.com.
Excellent. Okay, listen, I cannot tell you, Monica, how much I have enjoyed this. It's just been so good for me as somebody who's had the fat battle her whole life. It's wonderful for me to be able to talk to you about this. And I know so many people, men and women alike of all ages, are going to, I think, really relate to this. So everyone listening, I urge you to grab Monica's book, participate in her 101 Humiliations. And let's band together on this thing and let's accept who we are for who we are. Right, Monica?
Exactly. Christy, thank you so much. This was fun.
Yes, I had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'll be watching for your book.
Thanks again.
Okay, Monica.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, that is it for me. I will be back here again on Monday with another great guest. In the meantime, you can find me on Amazon. You can find earlier episodes of this podcast on iTunes. And as always, my home base is ChristyTheWriter.com. Mm-hmm.